Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You found us on a Monday. It's a little different, but there's some different things happening right now in the Atlanta United world. There is an interim manager that was announced this morning. We talked about that a little bit on Friday. It was what we expected. Stephen Glass in charge of Atlanta United in the short term. Tony Annan in charge of Atlanta United 2 in the short term. And Mike, I'm sure the questions have piled up over the weekend.
Well, first of all, we have a new slate.
I mean, yeah.
Very fancy here, right? Very nice.
We got people working for us these days. It's good.
Well, I'll tell you, we had, we don't like to talk about numbers, but 11,000 people have watched the Friday emergency stoppage time. 11,000 in the last, 72 hours. So that's why we're back on Monday today, just to try to comb through some of your questions and your, dream managerial candidates. We've seen a lot tweeted about that over the weekend. That's what we're going to do over the next hour. This does not replace Wednesday, by the way. We'll be back on Wednesday for our normal stoppage time on the 92.9 The Game Facebook page. But we wanted to talk about Glassy and Tony Annan and try to comb through the little bits and pieces and scraps of information that we got over the weekend. There's been some good reporting by Felipe, some good reporting by Doug. So we'll try to comb it all together over the next hour. I think bottom line is we don't really know much more than you all know. And if you've been reading the reporting over the weekend, a little bit confirms things that we had heard anecdotally. I'm still, 72 hours later, surprised. Surprised that it got to this point as quickly as it did. Got a little bit of context today. Darren spoke to Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They haven't done a big media availability yet. That's another big difference between how this went down and, say, the way Arthur Blank relieved Mike Smith of his duties with the Falcons. I mean, there was a big news conference where Rich McKay and Thomas Dimitroff and Arthur all answered questions for some time. This has a much different feel. And it really makes me think that this came together very rapidly. When Darren told Doug that he and Frank sat down on Friday and had this discussion that ended in the outcome of Frank and the club mutually parting ways, I believe that.
I do too.
That falls into the timeline. Our source with the club told us he found out 45 minutes before the press release went out. I believe all that. I think this was not something that had been determined Tuesday night. I don't think it was something that was determined, on the team charter going home or anything like that. I really think it happened on Friday. And I think, as you said on Friday, Jason, when you decide to have a mutual parting of the ways, someone's going to ask the question, right? And sometimes it's easier to answer the question a certain way as opposed to other times. Mm-hmm. Here we are in the middle of a pandemic. Season's not going to resume for another 4 weeks, it looks like, at least. You crashed out of the Orlando tournament. We get the report from Felipe over the weekend that at some point in the lead-up to Orlando, Frank had to go back to Holland for something. So there's obviously a lot going on right now in Frank's life and a lot going on with the club. And now, as Darren said, may have been the best time to do this. Atlanta United's not satisfied with where they are, where the on-field product is right now. So this is the time. And here we are now. And Glassy is now the interim manager. We'll get into all that. But I think the bottom line is I really do believe Darren when he says this decision was made Friday. I really, really think that. I don't think there was some kind of, you know, incident that happened in Orlando. I don't think, Felipe, I will say it now. I mean, Felipe reported about a training ground walk-off that happened before the team left for Orlando. That is, I can corroborate that. We were aware of that happening. So, you know, Felipe's reporting is correct. But I don't think Frank decided during that incident that he didn't want to be the manager of Atlanta United anymore.
Right.
I think this is something that really just happened in the last couple of days, and that's why we're at this point right now.
Yeah, I think it's just like diagnosing what went wrong in Orlando on the field, and I kind of came to the conclusion that it was a lot of little things that it got you to the point with the record you had. That's what I feel like this is too. I don't think anybody had the thought on Tuesday night that this would be what was happening on Friday. It really sounds like, and just connecting the dots on what Darren said to Doug Robertson in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, it really sounds like a conversation was had Friday, and maybe it was that time where it's, you know, this is not going to get better in the place we are at the moment. Let's walk away, because Darren had nothing but good things to say about Frank as a person.
Right.
Frank had nothing but good things to say about the club in the statement that he released on his Instagram. It's better to end it now if you don't feel like it can improve coming up. And this is going to be hard to improve at the moment because of the situation you're in. Sometimes a fresh voice, sometimes a fresh perspective, sometimes rattling the cage a little bit here. And that's what's happened. Atlanta United's in a different situation than they were. I don't really subscribe to the theory of crisis. I don't subscribe to the theory that it was a disaster. I don't subscribe to the theory of 19 months of failure. None of that.
No.
You won two trophies. You were a very, very good team that was very close. But I think in being very close, that also shows you that they didn't quite get to where they intended to get with Frank DeBoer. I don't think Frank got the team where he wanted it to get consistently. I think we saw glimmers where they played as good as any team in an Atlanta United shirt has ever played. We didn't see it consistently. And if you don't think you can get there, now is the time in this crazy season to make a change.
Right, because you're basically entering a third now training camp.
Kind of,
where,
yeah.
And I still believe Glassy is going to be the manager the rest of this year for reasons that we can get into later. Glassy's going to have 4 weeks now with this group. I don't know when training will resume. I'm assuming it'll be at some point this week, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I think it'll be this week, judging from other teams who went out in the group stage.
They're back home. Yeah. And Atlanta United's back home now, and the intent was to give the players a couple days off. When they get back into training, they'll have to go through all the COVID protocols and everything. But, you know, as Glassy said in a press release today, because, again, we haven't really had a lot of media availabilities, Glassy said, you know, his job right now is to just immediately go in there and build a rapport and a structure with the first team. And I by the way, I mean, I don't like to parse statements in press releases that may have been crafted by people other than those whom the statements are attributed to. But I thought those were two really significant words, because they might have been two things that were lacking in the dynamic between Atlanta United's players and Frank DeBoer. That structure may have been lacking, or it may have been onerous. There might have been too much of a structure.
Right.
You know, the structure could have been a problem, but certainly a rapport. I mean, it by all accounts, I mean, I don't think we're taking too far of a leap here in making the assumption that the rapport between the players and Frank DeBoer was not strong. And I'll just give you the example that I gave on the morning show this morning with Nick Kyle and Hugh. You know, when Brian Snitker was on the bubble at the end of the 2017 season with the Braves, you saw a lot of Braves players, Freddie Freeman, I think, most notably, but several others, really outspoken, you know, to the media, and we later found out internally, we want Brian Snitker to stay. We like him. We like playing for him. We feel like we'll play better for him than if you bring someone else in.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, pretty good decision to keep Brian Snitker. Two division titles subsequent to that.
Not bad.
When Dan Quinn was on the hot seat last year, Julio Jones, very outspoken, you know, holding team meetings about how we're letting our coach down. Grady Jarrett and Julio and several other players, very, very outspoken to the media. DQ's our guy. We want to play for him. Never heard that out of Atlanta United players pertaining to Frank DeBoer. No. And I feel like, fairly or unfairly, Frank was on the bubble from day one. In fact, it was absolutely unfair that Frank was on the bubble from day one. But a lot of people out there made the decision to put him on the bubble on day one because he didn't do well at a very dysfunctional club at Crystal Palace, and he had almost no sample size off which to draw at Inter Milan. So I think that's a pretty good hint, you know, that there was some kind of disconnect. Just the dressing room and the manager were not connected. And that's why I thought the use of the word rapport by Stephen Glass of that press release is significant. And by the way, Glassy will have no trouble building that rapport.
No.
He is incredibly respected. Incredibly. And it's not just within Atlanta United. I think you could poll a lot of people in the global soccer community about Stephen Glass, and especially domestically. He's been in this country for a decade-ish. He's a very highly respected man. You and I have had a lot of time to visit with him over the last year or two. Extremely well-spoken, very smart. Former Premier League player, which I think a lot of people forget, too. So he's going to walk into that dressing room with a lot of credibility. He's going to be well-liked. He's not going to be doing this alone. You'll have Rob Valentino, who's a very well-liked member of the technical staff, still with him. The goalkeeper coach will remain the same. The fitness coach will remain the same. He's bringing, I think, Nick up from ATL UTV2.
Henry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then you'll also be able to lean on Tony Annan, who, again, extremely well-respected. I mean, these are people. Tony's been with the club since basically day one. Glassy's been there for a while. The players all know and respect these two. So I think Atlanta United could have done way worse for caretaker managers than what they have right now. They're going to be just fine, but the process begins immediately. And I think Glassy knows it. I think he recognizes it, that fixing that disconnect between the manager and the players is going to be goal number one for Stephen Glass.
Yeah, that's what any manager's doing. And Stephen Glass has been managing professionals for a couple of years now. His players have been interacting with the first team for a couple of years now. They've had scrimmages. He sees what's going on. I'm sure he's felt it, and I'm sure he knows and has been thinking about the things he would do differently if he was in that situation. Not expecting to be, but sometimes that happens, and that's what anybody who is trying to better their career path is looking to do. You're always looking to learn. You're always looking for those opportunities. He has seen what has happened here, and he has a plan to change it, I would assume, pretty much day one. And that's going to be a big part of this. And you see it happen so often where you get that change in leadership, you get that new voice, that different voice. Sometimes the tactics don't change dramatically. We'll have to see what Stephen Glass wants to do here, because his tactics with Atlanta United 2 have been based off preparing players for the first team, not based off what he would do in a vacuum. Now we'll see how much leeway he has to make changes on the fly. It's not going to be easy, but we'll see how he envisions this group playing. We'll see what stamp he puts on it. And we'll see what he can do with this opportunity, because it's a big one. You see sometimes, even with nothing else changing, but just a different voice, a big uptick in performances and a big uptick in the quality of the performances. Sometimes that's all it takes, and we'll see what happens here. Long term, you know, Atlanta United's going to be looking for a permanent manager, and this is something that Atlanta United's in a unique spot in this country, in this league, with being the highest profile job in the country, in my opinion. Maybe LA Galaxy, maybe LAFC are in that conversation. There are going to be a lot of people who are going to be sending their resume over. There are going to be a lot of people whose agents are going to be calling. There are going to be a lot of people who are interested in this. It's going to be an interesting time to be doing a managerial search, because this is not normal times, and there's a lot of teams and leagues in not normal situations.
Well, I'll even take it a step further. I think it is right now, well, it's clearly right now, because no jobs are really open other than Atlanta United's, but let's assume every job was open. It's one of the best jobs in North America.
Yeah.
It's one of the best jobs on this side of the Prime Meridian, to be totally honest with you. I mean, if you even want to throw South America in there, it's a great job. But I think we also, as we talked about on Friday, and I don't think this has been discussed enough, and a lot of people are having a lot of fun talking about, you know, heck, I even saw MLSsoccer.com. Like, what's it going to take to bring in Pochettino? What's it going to take to bring in Miguel Herrera? That name is really gaining some momentum. I would love that, by the way.
There's so much lobbying going on right now on so many different fronts. Oh, it's very entertaining.
Herrera, that would be such a fan favorite. I think our fans would crash and burn with that guy, even if it turned out to be a disaster, because he's that fiery, emotional, disheveled, relatable, little bit chunky, you know, guy that I think we can all relate to. But here's the thing, and this has not been talked about enough, I don't think. You've got to really assess what the global situation is right now and the likelihood of being able to swiftly hire and install a non-American citizen manager. And this is the reality. I know a lot of people like to joke, well, you know, Atlanta United, with all they've done with the international spots over the last couple of years, they've got immigration attorneys on speed dial, and they can do this, that, and the other. Well, that was before March 11th of 2020. It's a lot different now. It's hard to get people who are not citizens into this country. It's hard to get a lot of people out of their own countries right now to travel internationally. And it's hard to the point of almost impossible of getting visas right now. And honestly, I think we're probably going to see this come up with Jurgen Damm and with Eric Lopez and anything that happens in the upcoming transfer window. It is not going to be an easy breezy process to get non-American citizens into Atlanta and get them employed and up and running. So that's why I really believe this is going to be a hire more with an eye on 2021, that Glassy is going to get an extended opportunity when the season resumes. I know Eddie Lee Pritchett wanted to know when the season will resume. It's sounding like it will happen next month at some point, but you know, I think Glassy's going to get these 18 games. I really do. I think there will be a comprehensive international search, because this is something that you can't rush, okay? You cannot rush this search and get into a – and I'll be totally honest with you. You don't want to get into a contract with someone that you rushed into, because I'm going to assume you're going to be paying Frank a buyout. You know, it was a mutual parting of ways, but I don't think it was a Frank straight-up resigning and keeping all the money on the table.
Right.
I don't think Arthur Blank would be all that enthusiastic about paying two or three coaches at once. So you got to get this right. And that's why I think it's going to require a little bit of patience on the part of the fans. It's really excited to talk about names, and we can talk about names.
Yeah.
You can absolutely get into that. We can have a lot of fun. I think, you know, some of the names brought up over the weekend, including Andy Razov. I thought that was a really
good name. I got a big list right here.
Okay.
There's a lot of names
we'll
on
into it. We'll get into it because that's part of the fun, and I think that's part of the reason why we had 11,000 viewers on Friday, because it is fun to kind of daydream and look at the names. But I would just take everything with a grain of salt, folks, because I think it is going to take at least weeks, if not months, to complete this process, given the challenges of the pandemic that we're in right now.
Yeah, I think when you start talking about names and possibilities, you do have to factor that in. I'm with you. You don't have to rush into this. You don't have to settle for, you know, a manager just because you can get them now. You don't have to settle for anything like that because you have capable hands in charge at the moment with Stephen Glass, with Tony Annan, with the twos, with everybody in-house. And you've got a group of veteran players. You know, this is a group that you should be able to get a lot out of. You don't have to go make a panic hire. You've got to get the hire right in the long term. And that long term is a little different right now. It is. And you've got some names of people who are out of work at the moment. You've got some names who are working at the moment but could be enticed. You've probably got a few that are pie in the sky that if everything falls into place for you, you'd love to have them, but it's less likely. And you've probably got some that of managers or people that maybe are assistants now that you think would be outstanding managers that you'd want to talk to and learn a little bit more about. So it's a very interesting time to be searching.
By the way, I think Glassy is one of them.
I do too.
Yeah, I think Glassy's a candidate. I really, really do. And I think we've gotten a couple questions about this. We'll get to your questions in a minute. If Glassy goes like 14-1-2 with this group, or that's 17, 14-2-2 with this group, like, he's going to get the job. I mean, I think this is, he's going to get a chance. They're going to talk to people, and they should. But I think Glassy has earned the opportunity to use this as a little bit of an audition. Mm-hmm. And some people have asked, does Glassy go back down to the twos when this is all said and done? That's absolutely possible. It's certainly set up in such a way where that can happen. I don't think Tony Annan has, you know, the ambition to I could be wrong. I don't think he has the ambition to be a full-time coach anymore. I think he really is enjoying
directing
the academy. You don't think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It depends on the right opportunity. And that's the thing, and this happens sometimes. People get an opportunity to move up the ladder, and things fit pretty well. Things that you might not have thought, things that you didn't plan on, but the fit is correct. And you've got two people who understand this club inside and out, who are in charge of the two professional teams inside the club. That's going to help. That's going to be a good fit right now, and maybe it's the right fit.
And if you don't believe Jason and I, wait until we get that first media availability, whenever it is, if it's this week or later. You are going to hear, I think, some very effusive remarks from the players when they're asked about Glassy. There is a reason why you saw some of the reaction that you saw on Twitter today from people who work with the club and work for the club. This is not just paying lip service. Like, this is, I'm telling you, folks, he is so well respected, and Tony is so well respected. And whatever chasm has existed between the coach and the players, it's going to get filled in quickly. And Parker, I just disagree with you. I think there is a way, if he succeeds, where he could keep the job. They will talk to others. If Pochettino says, okay, yeah, I'll come in January of next year, then Glassy better really knock it out of the park. but I think he's going to get the opportunity. I really, really do. Do you want to get to some questions?
Yeah, I do. I'll touch on that real fast. I don't think that's the plan. I don't think the idea coming in, that's why he's the interim coach. But you've seen it before where the interim turns into the permanent because everything clicks into place. You have to keep every possibility on the table right now, especially at a time when we don't even know what room the table's in. I mean, that's the hard part about all of this, is you need to keep everything possible. And if he does well, you're not going to eliminate from that being a possibility that he stays in that role. Right now, you're about to start a search, and you have somebody in place to run the team on an interim basis.
Yep, great point. Okay, questions brought to you by Country Financial. Take control of your financial future at countryfinancial.com. Short question with probably a long answer from Chris Kilroy. What's your early list of candidates? So you have the piece of paper.
Yeah.
I'm going to defer to you on this one because you have way more names on your paper than I have on mine.
I mean, you could go in so many different directions. People who are out of work right now that I think you have to consider. Mauricio Pochettino, obviously, and I think he's the least likely. I think you're talking about somebody who has the ambition to be at a mega, mega club, one of the 10 biggest clubs in the world. This would be a very different kind of job for him. He is somebody who is attracted to a project and building something. He would get that opportunity here. He would be coming into a team that Tata Martino was in first, a former teammate of Pochettino's. Both have that, you know, link to the Marcelo Bielsa tree. So he would fit, obviously, but I think his ambitions are to be in a much bigger place. I think it's incredibly unlikely, but you get a chance to talk to him. Darren's been at a club that he was hired at before. Makes a lot of sense to at least give that phone call. You might, if not get him, you might get somebody else through him that could be a possibility that you would like to have that conversation. One name that's come up that MLS posted and haven't seen a whole lot of traction about is Javier Aguirre. Javier Aguirre is former Mexican national team coach, was just let go at Leganés when they were relegated in La Liga. You're talking about an absolute veteran, 61 years old. He has been around the block managing in Mexico, in Spain, national team work. he could come into a big club, not feel out of place at all. He's available. He would be somebody that could easily right the ship. The questions are going to be tactically, what does he want to do with this group long-term, and how long-term would his long-term be? You know, is he looking to wind down? Does he want to go back into national team management? Or does he want to take another club job in a country he's never worked in before, but a country that his time in Mexico would lead him to knowing very, very well? He could be a really interesting one. Aitor Carranca is another one that has come up. He played in MLS for a minute with the Colorado Rapids. He had a run at Middlesbrough that started really well, kind of turned south at the end. He had the mutual parting of the ways. He didn't think he could take the team any further. That was followed up by a not-so-successful run at Nottingham Forest. He started his managerial career as an assistant under Jose Mourinho at Real Madrid. Not a bad place to learn a few things. He's a name I think you'd want to learn more about. He's somebody you'd want to talk to get to know better. Because I don't know if the track record, it's not a Javier Aguirre, it's not a Mauricio Pochettino track record at this point. He's somebody you'd want to talk to. One name that I thought was a little interesting, but he has taken a job, is Unai Emery. Unai Emery just took the job with Villarreal in La Liga. He was out of work. You've got a couple of names from big clubs who are out of work in Luciano Spalletti, who was at Inter, in Laurent Blanc, who was working in France. They're out of work. Could you want to talk to them? Possibly. You look at managers from South America who are out of work. Gabriel Heinze is a name who has come up multiple times. He was at Vélez Sarsfield. Did well, got them to Copa Sudamericana a couple of times. Managerial career, not the greatest, not the longest. He's still, I think, developing as a manager. I don't know if his managerial track record is going to turn many heads. His playing track record will. And is that enough right now? It's a question to be asked. You'd want to learn more about what he thinks about coming into this. Martin Palermo is another big name, former player from Boca Juniors, former player for Argentina. He is out of work after leaving a club in Liga MX. Where is he as a manager? Do you want to learn more? Why is he out of work? Because that's a question you're going to have to ask some of these guys. What happened at the last stop you were at? What, you know, what went wrong? And you have to make an assessment there. There's some, you know, emerging managers. One we mentioned on Friday, one that has done really well in Argentina, had a little bit of a hiccup earlier this season, in Sebastian Becasese. Started his managerial career very young, early 20s he was working under Jorge Sampaoli, who is another one of those Marcelo Bielsa disciples. Sampaoli is currently working, Becasese is currently working at Racing in Argentina, but in Argentina, the economy is in an awful state right now. There are a lot of teams that are going to be in an awful financial state. There could be opportunities, not just for players coming out of Argentina, but managers because of that. And Becasese is one that I think you want to look at because of that link to Sampaoli, which links you to Bielsa, which links you to Tata Martino, which gives you something that's not all that different from, I think, what a lot of people have said they want to see, that kind of style of play. The one that I think a lot of people have brought up is Marcelo Gallardo from River Plate. He's in between. Like, we talked about Pochettino being a guy who is maybe unattainable. Gallardo has been one that I didn't think would be attainable in MLS. He talked to Miami, it sounds like, for a pretty good while. Didn't ultimately take the job. I think he wanted to go to Europe. Is that still on the table for him now? I don't know. He's another one that I think you have to have a conversation with because of what he's done with River, the relationship, obviously, with Pity Martinez, the respect that he would get from an Ezequiel Barco, from any other Argentine player due to his career, any other South American player for that matter, obviously any player to begin with. And I think this whole notion of it's got to be South American needs to stop. It's got to be the right fit. That could be South American. That could be something else. It's got to be somebody who fits mentality-wise with where this club wants to go and where this roster is and where this player group is. Could that be Gallardo? It could be. But is he going to take that job? Because I think he's somebody that has been linked. It's linked to Barcelona. You know, I mean, that's a difference. And
we all think very highly of Atlanta United, but we're not in Barca territory quite yet.
You're not. It's interesting. Like, some managers would be more attracted to Atlanta United because of the things you can do here that you couldn't do at Barcelona. Right. Some would only be attracted to the big lights at Barcelona. So those are the ones that immediately come to mind. I'll throw a couple other names out there just to throw into the conversation. Turco Mohamed at Monterrey. It's been bad for him in league play, but he did win a title. He's bounced around a lot, and that would be the question I would have. Hernan Crespo, who's now at Defensa y Justicia in Argentina. Crespo's done really well with Defensa, and he's another former legend as a player who is pretty young in his managerial career. Jorge Almirón, who has managed in Argentina quite a bit. He is currently available right now. Gustavo Alfaro, who was at Boca Juniors fairly recently, did obviously very well with Boca, winning league titles, getting them to the Libertadores final, but not quite getting over the hump. Alfaro would be one I think you need to talk to. Jose Pekerman, you're talking about a veteran. You're talking about somebody who's been in World Cups. Would he be interested in taking on a club at this point in his career? Gustavo Poyet is another one who's out of work, who's been highly respected. Mark Van Bommel. You know, we can go on and on. Right. We can come up with a whole bunch of names, people who are out of work, people who are in work. The other one that I think he's unattainable, but it'd be interesting to have the conversation, and maybe this is just a pipe dream for me, somebody that has a connection to clubs that this front office has been at is Andre Villas-Boas, who was the guy coming up really, really young, was supposed to be the next Jose Mourinho. Didn't work out for him. He had to go and kind of rebuild his career, and now he's working in France at Marseille. Would he be interested in making a jump like that? He's kind of done things down an unconventional pathway, so could he be persuaded? Possibly. I've liked what he's done after having some serious adversity early in his career. Maybe he got things too fast, and now he's had to learn a lot of different things. He would be an interesting candidate if his name came up.
One name you haven't mentioned, we talked about a little bit on Friday, that just comes to my mind is Carlos Puyo, just because he was linked to the opening right when Frank was hired. And, you know, a lot of times when we go through exercises like this, whether it be with Atlanta United or any other sport in this country, we go through all these names that make sense, names that have certain connections, names that fit the philosophy that Atlanta United is obviously trying to build here. And it ends up being a name totally out of left field. Right. In fact, I'd argue Frank might have been that.
He was.
You know, I don't think too many of us expected it was going to be Frank when Frank was hired. But then you peel the onion a little bit, it makes sense. Frank and Darren had a little bit of a relationship when Darren was at Spurs. You know, Darren obviously had a huge role in bringing him over here. So, it you know, we've listed a lot of names, and a lot of them make sense. But it could be someone totally out of left field.
Absolutely, could be very easily. It could be somebody who's working right now that you don't think is available. Could be somebody that is working but in a role that is different. Could be somebody who's an assistant somewhere. Could be somebody who's a technical director somewhere. Anything is possible right now.
It just a couple other names that have come up from viewers.
Okay,
and then maybe we'll switch gears to other questions. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Victor Manuel Vucetich?
Vucetich, yeah. Another veteran from Mexico. I mean, his work in Mexico would give him, I think, enough to have some consideration. I think there's probably others who are ahead of him in that. But Vucetich is a longtime manager in Mexico.
Andre says he is all in for Laurent Blanc.
Blanc would be interesting. If that starts to get a little traction, I'd be curious to see where it could go. But, yeah, he's out of work.
Let's see. Who else? Someone brought up that Pirlo is going for his license in UEFA right now.
He is going to take Juve's U23s is what they're saying. So he has no experience. And the thing about this job is, you know, even some of the younger guys I mentioned who are emerging as managers, this is a big job. And I think somebody with no experience, even with the stature of an Andrea Pirlo, you're setting them up to fail. I think it needs to be somebody with experience managing professionals.
And if there are other names that you'd like Jason or I to comment on, go ahead and type them in on the bottom of your screen, and then we'll kind of switch gears to some of the other questions you have.
Cool.
Ahmed is, in all caps, many comments going for Xavi, saying that Atlanta's better than Cotter right now.
That's absolutely true, but I think Xavi is in line to go to Barcelona. I think he's in Barcelona to start next season, and that's why I didn't include him here. Let's say for some reason that falls apart, then yes, absolutely, go get him. But I just don't think it's likely.
I've seen Domé Terrain's name come up a few times.
I left that one out. I love it. I left that one out intentionally. I love it because he is a guy, in my opinion, who connected with his players in New York City. They played very, very hard for him. He left because he wasn't able to get the things he wanted from the club. That's not going to be an issue here. He talked about Eber being like the ninth option on their list of strikers, and it took forever to get him. You're not going to have that problem in Atlanta. He is somebody who the links are very strong with him and Pep Guardiola. He was with Pep going back to the Barcelona B season. Came to the first team staff with him at Barca. Then when Pep took a year off, Terrant didn't take another job because it was expected that Pep would get back into it fairly soon. He did go into Bayern, and Domé moved up to be his top assistant. Same at Manchester City. When the New York City opportunity opened up, Pep said, "You're ready, go do it." I mean, and Domé Terrant's, you know, older than Pep, and he had experience before as a first team manager. It was, he really liked working with Pep. They had the same vision. They had the same mentality. I think you got to see that, Domé, in New York City. I think he'd be a great fit here. I think he'd be a wonderful fit here. He's somebody that you have to respect. He can be, and maybe it's more with the media than the players, he can be prickly. And there were some issues with New York City media around that. But when he talks soccer, I love the way he sees the game. He would be very interesting. Reportedly, Flamengo in Brazil is going to interview him.
Andre just said that. Just type that in. Good shout, Andre. Matthew and Ahmed both want to know if there would be another MLS manager who may want to make a move up within the league to Atlanta United. I would just say caution on that. You're not going to be able to talk to any other manager during the season. You run into problems with tampering.
Yeah, you'd have to ask for permission.
You have to ask for permission to talk to anyone who's under contract. No one is going to grant Atlanta United permission to do that in the season. But on that note, let's talk about some of the other managers in MLS. I think your challenge is the top managers in this league, I don't think are going to be enthusiastic about leaving where they are right now. Someone like Peter Vermes, for example, no. His identity is so intertwined with Sporting Kansas City. I don't think you're getting him out of there.
No.
I don't think you're getting Bob Bradley out of LAFC. I don't think you're getting Bruce Arena out of New England with the contract that they gave him. I don't know if Bruce Arena wants another job after New England, to be totally honest.
I don't think he does.
Jim Curtin is a Philly guy through and through.
No.
You're not getting him. Do you want Brian Schmetzer? First of all,
you're not getting him. He's a Seattle guy. He'd never leave Seattle.
I don't think I'd want him anyway. I mean, if you want Atlanta United to play, as Darren has suggested, you know, attacking soccer, really go back to that attacking philosophy, Brian Schmetzer ain't it. Drake Vanney, I don't think you're getting him out of Toronto. So you see what we're going through here, guys.
You left one off.
Who'd I leave? Don't say Chris Armas.
No.
Oh.
A team that's still playing in the MLS's back tournament.
Giovanni Savarese?
That would be interesting. I wasn't even thinking about him.
I actually would love that.
I would love that too.
Portland. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's I've seen so many people say, I'd rather lose a game 5-3 than 1-0, which I think is a ridiculous statement.
And
I'd rather not lose at all.
Yeah, you wouldn't like Gio then.
You wouldn't like Gio.
Because Gio is pragmatic.
Yeah. Who am I leaving out?
Matias Almeida.
Great shout.
Almeida would be great. You'd have to pay the San Jose Earthquakes probably a good chunk of change to get him, and you'd have to convince him to take it. He is a very interesting, I think, just guy in soccer to begin with. Just the way he sees the game is pretty unique. It's almost a blend between what you saw early on with Tata Martino with a high pressing style, with a high tempo style, and what you saw Frank DeBoer trying to build this team into, that controlled possession. I mean, San Jose, everybody talks about the man-to-man. Like, they're one of the leading possession teams in the league, and they have been since Almeida got there. So it's an interesting, unique, tough to play style. It's also a tough style to maintain over a long season. I don't know if Almeida is a guy who would be as interested in this kind of job. I think he likes smaller teams and turning them into bigger things. But, you know, if you get to the end of this season and you haven't made a decision yet, you would be, I think, foolish not to ask for permission to speak to him because
Almeida,
of what he's done.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Almeida, I keep going back to Miguel Herrera. I don't know why I'm stuck on him. And I don't even know how realistic it would be to get someone like him because he just signed a new contract with Club America. I think a lot of people are kind of throwing his name out there because he has said before he'd be willing to go to MLS one day. Almeida, though, reminds me a little bit of Miguel Herrera. It, you know, he really feels the passion and expresses the passion. And I think the perception is that would fit with the way Atlanta United's roster is currently constituted, where you have a lot of Latin players that are very expressive, both in the way they play and the way they conduct themselves off the pitch. I also think, I mean, not necessarily specific to Almeida, you've brought up a couple names of people who have either coached the Mexican national team, El Tri, or they have coached in Liga MX.
Right.
If Atlanta United is determined to win a CONCACAF Champions League, and to be a player in Champions League year in and year out and be competitive, you know, there are two things you got to overcome. One of them is the disparity in wage bills, which I don't know if that's going to happen anytime. I think the pandemic might help narrow it a little.
It could.
But I don't think it hurts to have a guy who's coached in Liga MX. You know, if you're going into a quarterfinal fixture with Monterrey or Tigres or America or Cruz Azul or whoever, I would love to have someone, and Oscar Perea, by the way, would be another. Boy, wouldn't that be the troll move of troll moves, by the way? Orlando finally gets it together. Finally gets it together, and then after the season, Arthur Blank picks up the phone and calls Oscar Perea. That would be the troll move.
I'm not against that at all.
I'm not against it either. I mean, look, the results speak for themselves. They've done a great job under him. He's clearly gotten something out of them that their three prior managers had not. I just think, again, you know, I do like the idea. I think there are a lot of shiny objects out there, but I do like the idea of considering where you are regionally right now. If you want to be a regional power, hire someone who's going to be best equipped to do that, and that might be a manager from Mexico.
Could be.
Just might.
It very well could be. You've got to look at the best fit for the club. You've got to look at the best fit for this roster. And you've got to try to manage the time. You know, it could be a situation where they're not going to take over until 2021. It could be a situation that they're available and you can make it happen sooner than that. There's so much unknown. There's so much we're all guessing about. We'll just have to wait and see. And in the short term, it's going to be Steven Glass. And the better he does, maybe that means you can take longer or you can settle on what you have. Everything is on the table right now. That's what happens in these scenarios.
Andrew Thomas brings up Rafa Benitez. Do you think that's realistic?
Yeah, no, Rafa Benitez is another one. He was kind of on my other list. Rafa Benitez and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, two managers who are working in China right now. Van Bronckhorst was expected to take over at New York City, and it didn't happen. He ended up going to China instead. Both are being paid a lot of money to work in China, but it is the Chinese Super League, which is not as super as it used to be now that they've cut down how many foreigners there are in the league. And even at that point, players and managers would go and work a year and cash a big check and then leave because they didn't think the level was very good. If Rafa Benitez doesn't feel like there's an opportunity in Europe for him to go back to at a level he would want to, could he be enticed here? Potentially. I think Darren Eales would, you know, probably know what he's looking for, what Benitez is looking for. He's another one I think you make a call to, but more of a long shot.
Let's see. Drew Quintero brings up Patrick Vieira's name.
Vieira's working in France. I think Vieira long-term wants to stay in Europe. I think either working in France or potentially going back to the Premier League now as a manager is where he wants to go. There were reports that he was interested in the Arsenal job. I don't think he had really done enough to impress to earn that yet. And then they turned to Mikel Arteta, who didn't have that experience, so that was a little surprising. I think Vieira probably wants to hang around and see what happens at Arsenal. I think that's his long-term where he wants to be. That's his dream job. And coming back to MLS would not be the move for him.
Okay, I want to get to one from Bernd Dertzberger, kind of switch gears a little bit from manager watch, but it's kind of connected. And let's point out that Carlos Bocanegra is still the technical director for Atlanta United. So I think what Bird brings up is hypothetical. Would it make sense, though, to try to poach Ernst Tanner from Philadelphia? He says with a strong sporting director, you can have lower profile coaches like Glassy be successful and correct the current issues with roster building. That's Bernd's words, not mine.
Yeah, we've talked to Bernd about this on SDH as well. And I don't think you're going to get Tanner at this point. Philly's in a great spot. I don't think anybody in Philadelphia is looking to leave it right now because they have what they want at the moment. They're not spending a ton of money, but you just had Kevin Durant join that ownership group. You just brought some more money into the club, so maybe you're able to do a few more things. You're going to make some sales here coming up, maybe very soon, with Mark McKenzie, with Brendan Aaronson drawing a lot of attention. So you're going to have resources to work with that you didn't even have in the last year. I don't think anybody's leaving. I think that is a point. The better the roster, the better the player recruitment is, the more you don't have to have a big name manager. But the conversation here is there's really nothing to compare it to in MLS because I think there's an expectation of a big name manager, right or wrong. I think there's an expectation of that, just judging from some of the comments from people and media and people are thinking about.
Both your managers you've had so far in club history have been the biggest of big names.
Have been big names. I mean, yeah, big names that came in with some questions, though, but both big names. I mean, it's easy to forget that Tata Martino came in with questions when he was hired. He did.
Yeah.
Frank DeBoer came in with questions and maybe never really answered them. So now you're at this point. Do you want to do that again? Do you want to bring in somebody with questions but a name? Do you want to shoot your shot and see if you can go get a Pochettino or somebody else like that, big, big, big? Or do you want to develop with somebody? And I don't know if there is a wrong answer in that bunch, and I don't know what the right answer is. It's going to be down to the individuals and how they present themselves to this club and what they sell the club on, what they're going to do. It could be any of the above, and that's what's going to be interesting about this job search.
Couple people have brought up John Terry's name.
I mean, he hasn't done anything as a first team manager yet. And again, I think even if you go with younger developing manager, you need somebody who's called the shots. I don't think you can put somebody in here who has not. Now, John Terry is a player going to earn that respect. But I mean, just again, connecting the dots here, Frank DeBoer as a player, there shouldn't have been any question about respect. But the questions were about managerial. The questions were about tactics and what he wanted to work on in a training perspective, again, according to what's out there. And if he's being questioned about it, if let's say John Terry comes in and he wants to work on the things defensively and he doesn't come in with a strong plan, what's to say you don't get the same reaction? So I think it needs to be somebody who is going to earn the respect as a manager with what they have done as a manager, even if it's a limited time frame. I think they're going to have to earn that respect in that way. It can't just be because they were a good former player.
Okay, let's pivot away from like specific managerial names for a moment. I want to get to a couple other questions we've gotten, a ton of questions, and we're going to do this again on Wednesday, by the way. Yep. So if we didn't answer your question today, put it in the hopper for Wednesday. I don't think a whole lot will happen between now and Wednesday, and I don't expect, at least not with Atlanta United.
Who knows? We didn't expect Friday either.
No, yeah, true that. Okay, couple people asking, what's the plan for the season going forward? Can we play friendlies, all of that? Just paraphrasing some questions here. As far as we know, Jason and I haven't been told anything. No. When we left the stadium after the Columbus match, we were under the impression it would be around Labor Day. Now we have the report from The Athletic that they're looking at August 22nd as a restart date. According to The Athletic, remember, the big issue has been what do you do with the Canadian clubs right now, because transborder travel is not permitted. The league got a little bit of a break. All the Canadian teams are eliminated now. So they can all go home, quarantine for 14 days, because that's what the Canadian government calls for. And they could theoretically begin play with the rest of the league on the 22nd. It sounds like what the league is going to do is they're going to put out a first block of fixtures basically from August 22nd to the middle of September. In that block, Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto, they play a round robin, all north of the border. The hope is when they're able to put out a final block of fixtures from mid-September to basically mid-November, that the Canadian teams will be allowed to travel into the United States and vice versa. And then we can have fixtures involving the Canadian clubs. Of course, that all depends on what happens with COVID. I think a lot of people, again, are jumping to conclusions based on what happened with the Miami Marlins today. I would just say a lot of people were jumping to conclusions about the MLS tournament when we had the problems with Nashville and Dallas, and there has not been any hint of a problem since.
It's the same kind of question as what happened with Miami is my question. What did they do?
Well, yeah, and now that the dust is settling a little bit, that question, wouldn't you know, it has come up. And that needs to be studied, just as whatever happened with Nashville and Dallas needs to be studied, because there are implications for the NFL, college football, I mean, you name it. There's implications here. We need to figure out. We can't just scream, stop and cancel everything. We need to study what happened and then figure out if there is a way to avoid what happened to the Marlins, or if what happened to the Marlins is something that can't be avoided.
Right.
But the bottom line is it looks like August 22nd. As far as friendlies are concerned, I'm sure they would like to play friendlies. I just don't know if the league will permit it. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind the NFL is not permitting preseason games right now. I think one of the things you're going to see when the season resumes, the MLS season, you are going to see teams flying in the morning of the match and leaving on a charter right after.
Yeah.
Trying to minimize the time they're on the road, not go to a hotel. You know, basically everyone on the team tests negative. You get on the plane that morning, you go, you play. You're not exposing yourself to anything, hopefully, in the city in which you're playing, and you go home. That might help to minimize the risk, but it also creates logistical challenges. It could be very, very costly for a team like Atlanta United to say, okay, we'd like to play a friendly against Philadelphia Union, but it's going to cost us $70,000 to get the charter air, or it might even be more than that, to play that friendly. So that is going to be a challenge, but I'm sure they would like to play friendlies.
Yeah, I think they'd like to. I just don't think it's going to be realistic. I don't think you're going to be able to do it. So you're just going to have to train and prepare. And in this case, you're going to have to get to know your new manager in Steven Glass, and he's going to have to get to know the squad and figure out how he wants them to take the field, and probably won't play a match before that first game. If it happens the weekend of August 22nd, that'll be the first time that they play since the Orlando tournament. It's not ideal, but nothing's ideal at the moment.
Now, a couple people have been asking, again, I'm paraphrasing. You've obviously seen Glassy's teams more than I, because you've called ATL UTD 2 with John. But some people are wondering, is Glassy going to try to put any kind of tactical stamp on this team?
I would assume he would, but you can't judge it off what has gone on with Atlanta United too, because in that team, he's preparing players to move up to the first team. So it makes no sense if Steven Glass feels like he has a group of players that he would like to play in a 4-4-2 diamond. He thinks that's the best way to get something out of his team. It makes no sense for him to do that if he's trying to get guys ready to go to the first team where they're playing a 3-4-3. So he's playing a similar version of that shape where players can fit into first team roles. Now, his team looked a little different. Instead of more 3-4-2-1, it looked a little more 3-4-1-2 initially in the last home match. So, you know, there's little differences there. They were a little more high tempo and high press. You're also dealing with a team that had an average age of 19.6 years old, so they can run all day. They're not going to get tired. They weren't playing in the humidity in Orlando. So it's, again, not a like-for-like comparison. I'll be curious to see what Steven Glass comes into this group of players and sees as the best way to get results with them, because that's going to be his job. You know, the team's 2-3 coming into the season when they restart. They're in the playoff race. Nine teams are reportedly going to be in the playoffs. Atlanta United should be one of them. They want to be as high up that table as possible. In addition to developing a style, which is not really Glassy's role right now because it's not his job permanently, his job's to win games. flat out. And if that means they're a little more pragmatic early on, if that means they're maybe a little more defend and counter, there's a lot of different things here. He's there to win games, period. And he's going to have, I would assume, the freedom to find the way to win games, whatever it takes.
Okay, one more from Ricky Smith. He wants to know, are there players we have that we expect to be sold over the window, or is it too early for any thoughts like that without a manager?
I don't think the manager is going to affect it. I think you will see players come and go. I mean, there's rumors about Jonathan Gonzalez, who's in Monterrey, coming to Atlanta. That would mean you'd have to clear up a senior roster spot. There's been rumors before the Orlando tournament about Ezequiel Barco and going to Fiorentina or Ligue 1 in France. Could that happen? Yes. Could somebody come in with an offer for Pity Martinez, Miles Robinson, so many other talented players, George Bello? I mean, there's a number of different players that could draw interest. Absolutely. It's going to be a crazy transfer window. On the flip side, there's going to be players that maybe you didn't think were available that are available because you've got clubs that need to sell. I mentioned Argentina. You know, you've got a club in Independiente who just a couple of years ago won the Copa Sudamericana, and now they're basically broke. And it's not going to get better anytime soon for them. A number of other clubs, probably anybody outside of Boca. If there's a talented young player in Argentina, now's the time to throw some money on the table and see what happens. So that would then, again, mean you'd have to make other moves correspondingly. I think there will be moves in this window. I think every MLS team should be listening and should be looking, because this window is going to get weird worldwide. But in this hemisphere, it's going to get especially weird because, you know, as bad as it is here, you know, we talked about it in South America earlier. You know, early reports were that things were going okay down there. In the major cities, it's not. And in some countries, it's gotten a lot worse really quickly. Brazil's been a disaster. Some countries have dealt with it okay. Some haven't. So everything is going to be up in the air about this transfer window. And there's a lot of clubs who the only revenue they're going to see anytime soon is selling players. So Atlanta could end up with some players that they didn't expect to be able to get coming into the year.
Late question from Andrew. Yep. Are Eric Lopez and Jurgen Damm now training with the first team? Jurgen Damm's not here yet. Eric Lopez, until they work out some kind of loan deal with ATL UTD, I mean, I guess theoretically he could train with
the first team. Well, they're not training yet, so he could train for sure.
Right. And what Jason just said is important. They are not training yet from what we understand. Yeah. Also, it's been brought up by several people that Darren in the article with Doug Robertson in the AGC indicated they have already been approached by several managers.
Of course.
Not surprising.
I'm sure that release went out at, what, 2:05? I'm sure by 2:10 there were already agents calling.
Well, we already know of one candidate, not to temper anyone's enthusiasm, but C.K. Lopez says he has already reached out to Darren. And then he listed us as references.
CK, so, you're not getting a good review from me, man. Sorry.
CK, I've never seen you coach.
I heard about that U10 team. I heard about the orange slices. It went bad. So, no, not pulling for you. Sorry.
God help us all. All right.
Kidding.
We'll be back Wednesday at 2 o'clock. If we didn't answer your question today, apologies. We will come back Wednesday and get to it again. If you know anyone who missed us, we'll get the video posted momentarily, the audio hopefully later this afternoon on Off the Woodwork. Here's how I would just summarize today. Glassy's the interim manager. Tony Annan's taking over ATL UTD 2. Two very widely respected people. Glassy has said his mission right now is to build some rapport and structure with the first teams. Those are adverbs that have not been selected by accident, as far as I'm concerned.
Agree.
And I think he will succeed in doing that. Again, I can't overstate how respected he is. Darren says they're looking for someone in a permanent manager who is going to maintain Atlanta United's attacking philosophy. And he told Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that this decision for Frank and the club to mutually part ways was made on Friday. And Jason and I both really believe that based on the timeline that we are aware of right now. So that's how I would pretty much summarize it on another busy Monday. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun with hashtag manager watch. I think we're going to have fun with it. Look, I mean, this is so different when Tata informed the club that he was not going to return. We were starting an MLS Cup run.
Yeah.
And by the time the run was over, yeah, like a week or two after the parade, and then Frank was hired. So we never really had time to have like a lengthy conversation about what Atlanta United is going to do for its next manager. Yep. This is going to be much different, I think, because the process is going to take a lot longer. And that's why I think the conversation is really going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get a lot of rumors. It's going to be very much like silly season. We're getting a lot of rumors. Some of them are going to sound crazy and may actually turn out to be true. Some of them sound rather realistic and probably won't turn out to be true. So that's what we're going to have over the next couple weeks and months, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be bonkers. The silliest of silly seasons is what we're about to go into, because it's going to be managerial stuff. It's going to be player stuff. It's going to be league stuff. It's going to be schedule stuff.
Wednesday, we might have the schedule.
Who knows?
I mean, who knows?
I wake up and I'm like, all right, what crazy things are we going to have to talk about today? That's how it goes. And we'll see when we come back on Stoppage Time on Wednesday. But a lot of people hung out with us today. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back Wednesday at 2 o'clock. You can check out the audio. It'll be on the Off the Woodwork podcast as well. Have a good rest of the day, and we'll be back with you Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.